Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. The show is also sponsored by reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobiusstrippress.com. I ask you to go to 215-867-8255 if you want to call in. That is the number you dial, and to tell you in a different way, it would be 215-TOP-TALK. So you're more than welcome to dial in if you have a question or you'd like to discuss something, something of relevance to the Constitution. I don't know if I can solve personal problems today. I kind of be tapped out. If you do call, I just ask that you mind my three C's. If you know me by name, I ask you to be confidential. I go by GR. I ask you to be civil, and I ask you to be concise. So those are my three C's. I also want to point out the importance of watching the presentation. And actually, what I've done is I talked to the taker of the video, the leader of Northwest Grassroots, and they've actually cut that video up so that it's literally down to a 30-minute video, and they've isolated the second video portion as well as the questions. So you can kind of go through that evening's presentations and questions individually without having to actually play through or try to find it through the video finder and so forth. So I'm going to be posting that information as well. And just so you know, I am going to be posting these bullets as well as a graphical depiction of Republic Review, as well as the bullets explaining each of the steps of this process. I want you to fully garner and understand the constitutional power of actually organizing once again as the stakeholders and stepping in and literally taking cognizance and control over the Constitution so that we get adherence to our contract. And so I will let you know when those things are available and have those posted. And that way you can share. I will be putting them up on Facebook, and I'll even tweet them. And so they'll be graphic pictures, they'll be JPEGs and so forth, so that you can actually start forwarding them out and saying, why aren't we doing this? Anywho, if you do not find the information that you need, and by the way, the video, the current presentation is on the Take Action page on reclaimingtherepublic.org, as well as the slides that I provided to everybody that I used during those presentations. So you're more than welcome to take those and gander and share and so forth. But I will probably, I might actually come up with a whole new page instead of a take action page, because this is the foundation of the argument for Republic Review. So I don't think I'll use the home page. So anyway, I'll let you know how this all lands, but it ought to be happening in a few days. In addition, I still have that standing question for anybody who wants to dial in and just discuss the concept of religious freedom. And my question is, does the Constitution protect religious freedom? And in what context is that? Because I think most people don't really understand, because they just regurgitate these concepts. It's like a right for privacy. Show me in the Constitution where a person has a right to privacy, as that carte blanche says. I mean, the Fourth Amendment guarantees certain protections of privacy from government. But anyway, I digress. The other thing I wanted to ask is, has anybody seen the federal government disbanding any of its unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers? Hasn't happened, and I wouldn't hold your breath, because it's never going to happen until they're forced to do it. It's just like letting a bully get away with running the schoolyard. They're going to continue to do it until you force them to comply. And so We need to step in as the Republic to doing that. So I also wanted to point out before I get into the bullets, because what I'm going to be doing with the remainder of the show is I'll be going through the bullets that I didn't cover yesterday so that we can get through these things. And I want you to take mental note. You're more than welcome, like I said, when I put these up so you can share these. It's really important that you understand that the Constitution protects us all, because these are individual immunities that are guaranteed as a protection from us and from state governments, from them being able to pass a bill of attainder or an ex post facto law. And as a matter of fact, you'll find this protection in Article 1, Section 9, the restraints, specific restraints upon the federal government, which also are applied upon the states because of the 14th Amendment, that no state or no government can pass a bill of attainder or an ex post facto law. And what does that mean? Because lawmakers love to ignore this restriction, and they constantly dupe us into believing that they can write whatever law they want to. And the fact is, if you bought a bump stock and they pass a law that says bump stocks are illegal, and you bought that bump stock when it was legal, they cannot take that bump stock from you. If you bought gold and you possessed gold, regardless of the national emergency, they cannot pass a law that says that that gold that you possess is illegal. And as a matter of fact, they have found people that held the pre-1933, the gold that FDR had seized, and they've actually gone in and seized that gold, and nobody has ever challenged it that it was a violation of the Constitution, Article 1, Section 9. And that's just because they get away with that. And that's just because you're not familiar with the Constitution and these protections that the framers were so insightful in ensuring that we were protected from, to make sure, because they knew and they saw these types of things in previous governments, whether they be the government that they just left, Britain, and or other governments that were currently living or historic. And so they were very insightful in ensuring that we had a lot of protections that no other society has ever had. So anyway, another thing I wanted to point out is my local show in a few weeks will be discussing the Washington State election process from the inside view. I'm going to have a person that actually has been observing the election process for quite a while, for like almost a decade, and their insights and the shenanigans that are occurring in this mail-in ballot requirement. And Washington's not the only one that does this. Apparently, I think Colorado, Oregon, and there was one other state. And there are other states that are looking to do this. If your state is looking to create a mandatory mail-in and get rid of the polling sites, do not come down this path. We have to undo this, and we have to get back to full ran precincts and full polling places and so forth. We've got to get back to that, because there are way too many shenanigans that the government can play, and they stack it. And that's one of the reasons how I believe the progressives here in Washington have been protecting their little strongholds in manipulating the ballot system. And you're going to be fascinated to hear some of these insights and some of the little anecdotal facts that will come out from this observer. So I promise you that I will probably bring those interviews over as well, so that you can kind of hear those, because I've done that with some of my other videos, my interviews with Mr. Griffin, as well as Mr. Vile, and so forth. So when I have, I think, relevant content that goes from my local show to my national show, I want to make sure that you get an opportunity to hear this, because, again, I truly believe that knowledge is power, and if I empower you, then you can actually start making the right decision, especially when confronted by nefarious proposals and petitions and opportunities that the progressives want to ram down your throat. Anyway, we're up at a hard break. I will be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academe has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to, so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem.
This is G.R. Mobley. Did you know your overall health is connected to your dental health? And as you get older, this becomes more and more important. If you're like me, going to the dentist can be terrifying. So for me to maintain my dental health and overall health, I need a great dentist and staff who are sensitive to my fear, pain, and even my fear of the cost of dental work. This is why it took me almost 2 years to find a great dentist after I moved here. Bottom line, I need a great dentist just to get into the chair, even for a regular cleaning. This is why I personally recommend Dr. Vaughn Tracy as not only a great dentist, but a patriot and a dentist that cares about your comfort and health. You can find him at VaughnTracyDDS.com. That's VaughnTracyDDS.com. Then you can agree with me, it's great to have a great dentist.
Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. If you've listened to my weekly show, Reclaiming the Republic, right here on Red State Talk Radio, every weekday evening from 6 to 7 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. It is a hard, fast contract. In accordance to Article 7, the states are the only stakeholders in this contract, and inherent in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight over the contract. This means they can audit the contract against the general government and the unconstitutional powers they are exercising. Any single state can perform this audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what I refer to as Republic Review. Please read my executive summary on reclaimingtherepublic.org to learn the details about Republic Review. Thank you. Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue. Or at least a dialogue that I was speaking with last weekend, right before we went into Easter. I'd ask all of you to ponder and pray about what I'm asserting. I believe that there is no other way, but let's go through all the alternatives before I get into these bullets. Because if you consider all the different alternatives that we have, I do not believe all of the alternatives we have been exercising, even the one that we have not exercised yet, will not fix our problem. And so, again, give this some thought, and I ask that you ponder and pray about these things. Do you believe that the court system is actually going to solve our problems? Taking things to the highest court that you believe exists, which is our Supreme Court, they have failed many a times. As a matter of fact, they have ruled with an iron fist over religion and have created an anti-Christian environment, so to speak, within our education system and so forth. Do you believe the election process is going to be the process that will fix this? I don't believe so. We've been using the election process for years, and we continue to slide further and further into socialism. And bottom line, the status quo, which is basically both of these things, using the court system and the election process, has been failing us. And so organizations that say this is the course we have to go, they are telling you that we need to continue down this course of sliding into the abyss. The other alternative that we haven't exercised is the Article 5 path of actually having the states come together and amend the Constitution. Bottom line, the problems and the ills that we are suffering cannot be fixed by a constitutional amendment. The only way we are going to be able to fix our constitutional problems is having the stakeholders step in. And as I have said, our liberties and his Constitution, because again, I have to say this each time I refer to him or his, every single framer affirmed that they received the insight from the divine hand of providence that this Constitution was truly inspired, and as a matter of fact, by unanimous call, they had asked George Washington to proclaim a day of thanksgiving and service to him who basically endowed us with this Constitution and government. And so apparently, if you understand what Jefferson and Madison did, then they apparently had a level of an affinity for liberty and the Constitution. And when I say what they did, I mean very specifically what they did when the federal government passed an egregious violation of the Constitution, which were the Sedition Acts. They actually stepped up and stood up against the federal government by going to Kentucky and Virginia and created those resolutions calling for the rest of the states to do exactly what I'm calling for you to do today, to coalesce the states together and demand that they perform an audit and call out the federal government, their child, in its violations of the Constitution and demand that they fix that and use force if necessary. And I'm not talking about physical force. The states have constitutional force that they can use, and we will get into that as we go down through, you know, digesting all of this process. So first, we're creating the academic argument as to why the states have to do this and whether they have that power. There's no doubt in my mind. Nobody can refute this. You can try. I mean, if you're a constitutional scholar, by all means, call in. And I've had Dr. Vile and other people that I've talked to on my previous shows. Nobody can refute that the states actually have this authority. And those who understand this and they understand how good life is by being able to have a government that can, you know, constantly throw money at everything like the education system, then most professors love the fact that the federal government is violating the Constitution because they're the benefactor of that. And so it is time for us, I believe, to obtain the same affinity for our liberties and our Constitution. And it is time for us to act because we are losing time. I spend a lot of time in the intelligence community, and I have, for a lack of whether I like to or not, you just become a thinker in an analytical way. And you have to really, if you look at all the data, and I ask you to look at all the kids coming out of the school system today and seeing what they're doing in these juvenile, bratish rants and petitions and marches and so forth, Do you have faith that what's coming out of this education system is going to save this nation and save our Constitution? I'm telling you, they will violently shred the Constitution when they are actually in the position to be able to do so, and they will not realize what they have done until they did it, and then it'll be too late. We cannot, I emphasize, we cannot wait for them to graduate, and we cannot allow enough of them to graduate, because as I said yesterday, it's not just them. It is the illegal aliens that have vested interest in keeping this gravy train pumping entitlements. And even if it becomes a constitutional problem, they still want their entitlements. The entitlement state is unquenchable. And it's the same thing with the refugees and all of these people that they're bringing in, that the progressives have created pipelines, this march from Central America coming here to demand political asylum and demand us to give them their entitlements. The world is coming for us. Washington warned us of this, and they are jealous of our liberties, and they are out to take our liberties, and they're out to destroy the Constitution. And if we're not doing something about it, and we don't have a lot of time, I'm telling you, I look at the amount of kids that will be piped into the election process between now and 2021, because if you go, you can look at the demographics they're forecasting in 2021, how many people are old people are going to die off that won't be able to vote anymore, or just won't be able to vote because they're just incapable of voting because of age or infirmities or what have you. we're on a very, very thin line. And it's very thin ice, or whatever you want to call the metaphor. We need to do something, and we need to do something constitutional and something fast to fix this Constitution, which is definitely why I have written this, because there is nothing more constitutional than this. And so let me go ahead and I'm going to read the last bullet that I read, and then we're going into a hard break because it's that time again. And I'm on the sixth bullet, and this is what I read yesterday. The politicians, jurists, lawyers, officers, officials, professors, and persons claiming profound understanding of the Constitution within and even outside of the general government or federal government since 1791, they have used lies, deceit, and collusion to convince the states to allow them the ability to assume unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers without following the codified process within the Article 5 amendment process that we have. And so I would just basically ask you that with that and considering that, because I don't want to go into this sub-bullets that I have here, that if you look at what Marshall said, if you look at what Dewey said, if you look at what Teddy Roosevelt, all of these people that supposedly had profound understanding of the Constitution, they were lying. If you read the ratification debates of the Constitution, if you read the constitutional debates and Madison's notes on the Constitution, if you read the writings of Madison in an official capacity, not his opinions, official capacity writings, you will find that they are lying. That the federal government was limited and defined tightly within the confines of the Constitution, and that the only way that they could obtain any new role, responsibility, and power was through the Article 5 process. So, we're at that hard break. Let's hear a couple of words or promos from me and sponsors, and then we'll be right back getting back into the bullets. So, I thank you so much, and I'll be right back. My show, Reclaiming the Republic, is more than an educational show. My intent is also to work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. Republic. It is result-oriented and is live across the Republic. Download and share our podcast. Like, follow, and share our page, Mobius Strip Press, and the articles and content posted on our Facebook page. Get informed about groups in the local area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I'm working with Trevor Lawton, Douglas V. Gibbs, Tom DeWeese, John Hancock, and many other good patriots in setting up rodeos for Republic Review this summer. We're doing this in Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Idaho, Kansas, and North Dakota for this election cycle. If you are beginning to understand the power of Republic Review, then we need your help one way or another. More importantly, if you live in these states or know any patriotic leadership, whether that's an elected official, grassroots leader, or political leader, please reach out to me on Facebook or email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org and let me know who we can work with in organizing these events. It is our intent to get one and hopefully all of these states to call for Republic Review. If we can get this started, I promise you we will make America great once and for all. Thank you. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive of businesses who are supporting to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. I've been on the radio for over a year, and for over a decade, I've been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we are going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument, and most do not like it for money reasons. If you have not read my executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can pick up my executive summaries, books, and content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you'll know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content. Most of it's free at reclaimingtherepublic.org and mobistrippress.com as well. This way, you can become a part of the solution and not a part of the problem. That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's, and if you're ready to call in, the lines are open. And so, other than the fact that these politicians, jurists, lawyers, officers, officials, professors, and persons claiming profound understanding of the Constitution have lied and used deceit since 1791, therefore, all RRPs being exercised that cannot be found within the Constitution and ratified amendments are blatant violations of the Constitution and usurpations of state sovereignty. See ratification debates, Madison's veto of the bonus bill, which I've actually read, and that's why you want to download these podcasts. You can go back and listen to that and go, yeah, okay, that interesting. He's absolutely right. And you can read the Federalist Papers that all support the fact that these are state rights, state powers, and state sovereignty issues. For almost two centuries, the general government and public servants at all levels have failed to comply with the Constitution as ratified. 7. Inherent within contract law is the ability of the principal stakeholder of a contract to audit their contract. As a matter of fact, the federal government constantly audits their contract of their subcontracts for defense, whatever it is, they're constantly looking over it, making sure that you're not stiffing them and that you're performing to every whit of that contract. Isn't it interesting that we're not doing the same thing? Boy, have the tables turned? No, the perception of the tables have turned. So let me go on. Sub-bullet for 7. Therefore, only the states possess the authority to and must validate all roles, responsibilities, and powers being exercised by the general government to confirm that new executive departments, except for the original 3 executive departments, the state, treasury, and defense, and all other roles, responsibilities, and powers that have been established per the Constitution's Article 5 process. See, the Kentucky-Virginia resolutions of 1798 have been worked through a formal audit process. So what I'm saying here is that the states and only the states have the authority to and must validate all of these RRPs in a formal audit process. If there is no amendment for the role, responsibility, and power, such as a department, an agency, office, or administrative entity, then these roles, responsibilities, and powers and entities are unconstitutional. Therefore, step 8, which is an action step, to ensure this audit has full force of the Republic, the states must coalesce and work together with their authority to rebuke the general government and force the general government again into compliance using the constitutional powers that they possess, thus requiring the general government to provide the necessary legislation to disband and dissolve all unconstitutional roles, responsibilities, and powers, or face the consequences of their failure to comply with their oath of office. And that right there shows some teeth that the Constitution gives the states. This process or methodology or convention, and I'm using that C word because process, methodology, and convention are interchangeable here, amongst the states asserting their powers is not applying to Congress in accordance with the Article 5 of the Constitution to convene a convention to amend or modify the Constitution. See the Republic Review process model, which I am providing with this. Thus, the states are simply asserting their authority as the principal stakeholders over their Constitution. If a state has an active application for an Article 5 convention, it should rescind or withdraw its application to ensure it is not sending mixed signals and clearly asserting its constitutional authority over their contract. Doesn't that make sense? I mean, you don't want to necessarily go into one restaurant while you're ordering for pizza delivery to come to that restaurant while you're eating dinner. I mean, you clearly need to eat, but you need to do one thing or eat one thing instead of the other. And at this point, it's clearly a time for us to assert our authority, but it's not asserting our authority within the Article 5 process. It is asserting our authority over the contract. I know that makes sense, but I know that there are some who are enamored by the Article 5 process and think, oh, well, we just need to write an amendment. I mean, there's some really beautiful amendments out there that I know people, you know, just have a good success in pushing, whether it's the fair tax or whether it is the balanced budget and or term limits. you know, these little pet peeve amendments. And I'm not besmirching or, you know, calling anybody out that they're bad. Those don't solve the problem. Those will not get rid of the Department of Education, the Department of Energy, the Department of Health and Human Services, Obamacare, and all of the real problems that are spending us into oblivion. And as a matter of fact, if you start thinking about it and we get rid of all the social programs, we get rid of all of these things that the federal government shouldn't be doing, then I don't know if we need a balanced budget. It may be a good idea, but I don't think we need one. If the federal government's actually complying to the Constitution, then, we may not need some of these amendments. Let's fix the Constitution first, and then let's figure out if we need an amendment. And if so, then we can work forward with Congress in supplying that. But let's get it back into, you know, the framework that it should be working in first. And that's my big point here. So, bullet 11. Consequently, the coalesced republic, while conducting republic review, will not possess the constitutional powers to amend, rewrite, or alter the Constitution in any way. Again, they are simply exercising their authority individually and collectively to validate and demand compliance to their Constitution. And a good reference for this would be the Federalist Paper number 49, where this is where Madison calls it using a convention to deal with encroachments. And in that convention that he's talking about, it is not a convention for amendments. It is a process for dealing with encroachments by using the states and the republic in doing that. And that's exactly what the 1798 resolutions of Kentucky and Virginia were. And there goes the perfect segue into bullet 12. This audit and republic review is what Madison and Jefferson attempted in 1798 with the Kentucky and Virginia resolutions. 13. Furthermore, this audit by the republic for republic review does not require an application to Congress, nor is it dependent upon Congress to appoint a place or time to conduct the audit. Because in the Article 5 process, it is dependent on Congress to do the appointing of place and time. As a matter of fact, I highly recommend that the states conduct this audit from their state capitals. They don't create a boondoggle in some, you know, Key Largo, you know, type of resort or some place in Hawaii or anyway. This is not a boondoggle. There's a lot of work that the state legislatures need to roll up their sleeves and dig in and actually start going through all the muck and mire that the federal government has created. And in that process, they need to determine what goes and what stays. And so it is highly recommended that this all be done online. This can be done securely online as well. And there's no reason why the states can't obtain cryptographic technology for communications for their internet comms and so forth to communicate with one another, to be able to guard what they're doing from hackers and everything else, because they should be able to get the exact same stuff that the federal government uses to keeping, you know, Russia and everybody else out, because they'd have a level of cryptographic technology that will, and nobody can penetrate that stuff. These things are impenetrable. And as a matter of fact, NSA can't even get by these things. You have to have the keys to get through this. And so there's no reason why the states can't use a good, secure computing environment to be able to communicate, have their telecons, and work right from home and be able to interface with the public and keep everybody apprised as to what they're doing and what looks like is going to go when they start coming to the conclusion of the audit process. And this shouldn't take long, folks. This should only take months. It shouldn't take years. And so, just like how the framers did it in a matter of months, we're at a hard break. We'll be right back after a word from our sponsors. Thank you so much.
This is G.R. Mobley. Most of you understand the importance of having strategic goals. But do you have a long-term strategic goal for your dental health? Too many people are only focused on whitening their smile. I understand the appearance of teeth can give you confidence, but this can risk your future health in only addressing the cosmetics of your teeth. And many dentists will take your money to do this. They say failing to plan is planning to fail. And if you don't have a long-term strategy, you need a new dentist. Every dentist provides a dental plan, but Dr. Tracy and his staff develops a strategy to help you maintain or restore your dental health to what it needs to be. To develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health, connect with Dr. Tracy at VonTracyDDS.com. That's VonTracyDDS.com. So you too can develop a strategy in maintaining your dental health.
To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are supporting to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on Red State Talk Radio. Thank you. This is G.R. Mobley. The reason the progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost all billionaires in the world are funding a vast array of different groups, and their efforts are to undermine our Republican Constitution. If you don't believe me, Google the donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, and many other state rights, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved and supporting programs based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. Thank you. Hi, this is G.R. Mobley. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states in accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution. These conventions require states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. These conventions are unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to get my executive summary on Republic Review and listen to Reclaiming the Republic right here on Red State Talk Radio every weekday evening from 6 to 5 Eastern and 3 to 4 Pacific. Thank you. Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255. And apparently, there's so many people that are, I guess, absorbing this that they just don't want to talk about this solution. But anyway, what I just went off into the break with was I was reading bullet number 13. And so there's sub-bullets to this. So I'm going to reread bullet 13 for you. Furthermore, this audit by the Republic for Republic Review does not require an application to Congress, nor is it dependent upon Congress to appoint a place or time to conduct the audit. Jefferson, the sub-bullet here, Jefferson audited the Constitution with the Kentucky legislature within their chambers. He didn't have to apply. He didn't have to request their authority. He didn't need their authority, and he knew he didn't need their authority. See Kentucky Resolutions of 1798 and 1799. Madison audited the Constitution with the Virginia state legislatures within their chambers. See Virginia Resolutions of 1798 and James Madison's report on the Virginia Resolutions 1800. Both Virginia and Kentucky called upon their fellow states to join them in rebuking the general government for violating the Constitution. I can't emphasize this enough, that this was clearly an action that these gentlemen applied that set the example for exactly how we're supposed to do this. And nobody has done it since. Bullet 14. The Republic review process will identify all infractions of the contract and provide two directions to Congress. And I'm getting into the Republic review process model, but I've referenced, go look at that. But I also have bullets that I will follow up with, probably starting tomorrow, that will give you the steps of that process model of what's the first step and how, and working through this process. The sub-bullet for 14 regarding the Republic review process would be this, that when 13 or more states do not want the general government to continue exercising roles, responsibilities, and powers that are violations, the list of these roles, responsibilities, and powers, so they're violations of the Constitution, keep that in mind. So the list of these roles, responsibilities, and powers will be sent to Congress to dismantle or schedule decommissioning. So there's going to be two different processes that they have to determine on these RRPs, or roles, responsibilities, and powers that they don't want them to continue doing. One process will be actually dissolving, and the other one will be decommissioning. And so the dissolving is basically setting out a guidance that the Department of Education will be shut down, you know, immediately, or they'll start the shutdown immediately, and Congress will basically say that, you know, they have 30 days, 3 months, or what have you, to end all business and to transfer all information over to the states, and or, you know, leave it as it sits. And then the states will have to come in and grab all correspondence, all facts, and everything else. And I believe you, my friends, that if you understand what's going to happen when the states go in and start going through this muck, all of these correspondences within the government, we're going to see how deep the corruption in this deep state, whatever you want to call it, goes, because every single department within these unconstitutional departments, and even the constitutional ones, the State Department, the Treasury, and the Defense Department, I'm sure there are plenty of, you know, very incriminating documents and facts that are buried. And when we start going through them, we're going to actually start peeling back. And I don't get into it, but I believe that it'll be left to the states to decide what to do when they start disclosing, you know, some criminal behavior and activity by either political appointees and or bureaucrats and or even elected officials. And so we'll let those things fall where they may. But anyway, a next sub-bullet for the Republic review process in identifying all infractions would be that roles, responsibilities, and powers that states, 38 states, I should say, that 38 states or more expressed the desire for the general government to maintain any of the unconstitutional assumed roles, responsibilities, and powers, then Congress will be required to initiate the Article 5 process to amend the constitutions to allow the states to delegate this authority to the general government. because they're exercising the power that has not been amended and delegated to the federal government. What has to happen is that Congress is going to have to provide an actually a defined amendment to the Constitution to create this power. Let's say it's going to be the Department of Energy, the Veterans Affairs. I'm pretty much on record to say, you know, the Veterans Affairs is probably something we need to have done or taking care of the veterans. How we do that is, I think, dependent upon republic review and let the states decide, because technically the states maybe should be carrying this. But I honestly believe that the entity within the federal government that should be taking care of the veterans isn't the Veterans Affairs. It should be the Department of Defense. The Department of Defense is the one that broke these folks. They should already know what they did, and they shouldn't have to go to a separate bureaucracy and basically say, you did bad or you did good. It's not about bad or good. Accidents happen and what have you, and it's about time we start addressing the veterans where the problem is occurring. That would actually force more accountability to say, hey, you know, the Department of the Army over here is kind of problematic because they seem to be breaking people a little more often than these other departments, or Navy. You know, there's lots of guys that, you know, have real problems with their shins because of those knee knockers on ships. Maybe we need to fix that. I don't know. Anyway, but it puts the problem where the problem should be, because if a business has a problem, they don't have another business that they farm their problem people over to, or the people that they hurt, broke, or the people that they have to pay annuities to for the rest of their life. Those businesses actually take care of those people. And I get it, it's the federal government, but I think you just inherently create a new problem when you create a new bureaucracy, when clearly the existing bureaucracy, the Department of Defense, should have what it takes to be able to have a level of management from cradle to grave, so to speak, when they receive people coming in to serve, to the point in time when they are no longer receiving benefits, or in other words, they pass of, you know, old age or what have you. And so anyway, I totally digressed on that, but that is my point, that when there's 38 states that express the desire for the general government to maintain that unconstitutional role, responsibility, and power, whether we like it or not, it's unconstitutional because the process that they used did not follow the Article 5 process. So we'll have them do an amendment, and it should be a slam dunk, right? We just drive that thing to the hoop, and we're in there. Anyway, the final bullet is Congress will promulgate resolutions that acknowledge, first, the requirement for the general government and all public servants that they must always comply to the Constitution. They all have to take an oath, don't they? Anyway, so the second bullet, the dissolving of specific roles, responsibilities, and propagating to the affected entities. So this is the dissolving process. So propagating to the affected entities a schedule of completion per the guidance from the Republic Review resolution process. And then third, the decommissioning, the specific roles, responsibilities, and powers will be broadcasted with a schedule of completion per the guidance from the state resolutions from the Republic Review process as well. And so if there happens to be an entity, and a good example might be the Department of Energy, they have a lot of things that we have to go through to ensure that the states can actually receive and ensure that we take on that responsibility back, because I tell you, the federal government has got way too deep into managing and actually into leveraging energy against us and creating this national grid and in creating, you know, these national controls on all these different energies. And so the states have to kind of figure out how to receive that and how to manage that moving forward. Some people might recommend that it would go into a constitutional amendment to give that to the federal government, but I'd highly, highly recommend that we would never do that, that these things that are of domestic nature, were never intended to give to the federal government because Madison and the framers clearly stated that they created a government that was outward facing, that would focus on the foreign affairs and so forth, that all things domestic would be left to the states to enjoy. And so it should be managed and controlled by the states. There's no better content. I'm telling you, folks, I'm at the end of the show here. There is no better content than what you're hearing today, because these are literally the constitutional solutions that actually dovetail with precisely what the framers had stated and gave us. And this is the way we need to move forward. And I am G.R. Mobley. This is Reclaiming the Republic on Red State Talk Radio. I'll be back tomorrow. And thank you so much. And please spread the word. We're saving the Republic right here.